So we started last week, this parak. This parak divides itself into three major units. From verse 1 through verse 11 is the first unit. From verse 12 through verse 16 is the second unit. And from verse 17 to the very end, probably till the end of the section is the third unit. So let's look at each unit individually. The first unit is a tochacha. The first unit, as I've mentioned many times, is while Isaiah here is speaking about the future, and he's speaking about redemption, and he's speaking about the power of God, and he's speaking about how the Jewish people are going to be Eved Hashem. They are going to be the servant of God and be the vehicle to bring a message to the whole world about God and about the power of God and about the salvific nature of God and all those things, and that God is the God of history and God controls the world, all those things. If you look in terms of this text, you also have a sense of critique. Now, the question is, what exactly is the critique that I would just want to spend a few minutes on here in this first verse? So in this passage, you're going to see the word lishmoa seven times, which, of course, is a key number. God is turning to the Jewish people that they should listen and hear, which, of course, is very often the language of tochacha. Shimu zot Beit Yaakov, hanikraim b'shem Yisrael. So listen up, Beit Yaakov, hanikraim b'shem Yisrael, umimei Yehuda yatzau, and who have emerged from the waters of Judah. Notice all the different names are used to describe. Again, it's kind of throwing the kitchen sink. Beit Yaakov, Yisrael, Yehuda. Again, probably Beit Yaakov and Yisrael, of course, harken back to the beginning of Matan Torah. Kotomar Livneis Lebeit Yaakov Tagid Livnei Yisrael. So it has that echo of the very beginning of the Jewish people entering into covenant with God. It also specifically mentions Yehuda, because by this time the 10 tribes are gone and the Jewish people who are, so to speak, left, we have very little, right? The people who are in Bavel are fundamentally from the tribe of Judah. And so Meimei Yehuda Yatzau, they emerged from the waters of Judah. The waters of Judah either could be a euphemistic term for the seamen, literally they are from the waters of Judah, or it could be just no more of a metaphor. They emerged from the source, like a ma'ayan, like a spring. They sprung forth from Judah. It could also have the connotation of birth, the birthing canal. So Mimei Yehuda Yatzau, they came. So Yaakov, Yisrael, Yehuda, this harkens back to the beginning. And these, the Jewish people, Hanishba'im b'shem Hashem, ube'elohei Yisrael yazkiru. And they mention, they swear in the name of God, and ube'elohei Yisrael yazkiru. In biblical Hebrew, the word lizkor and the word shame is often a parallel. Just to give one example, about this idea of swearing in the name of God or mentioning ubelehe Yisrael yazkiru, they swear and they mention are kind of parallel. Just to give you again one example, in the book of Yehoshua, in the book of Joshua, at the end of the book of Joshua, in chapter 23, that's what I wrote down for myself, in chapter 23, Joshua calls together at the end of his life, he calls together the Jewish people, and he has a kind of ceremony where he gives them a kind of farewell speech, and he says to them, V'chazaktem mod lishmor v'lasot et kol hakatuv b'sefer, you shall be strong, you shall strengthen to follow everything. Livilti bo bagoyim ha'ela nisharim ha'ela. Do not intermarry. Do not mingle with the nations that are left. Ubishem Elohehem lo tazkiru velo tashbiu. So don't mention their names and don't swear in their names. So to mention and to swear are kind of parallel. Okay, these are kind of parallel actions. This is with words and this is with action. Velo ta'avdum velo tishtachavu lahem. So here the Jewish people are described as the Jewish people are described as hanishba'im b'shem Hashem ubelei Yisrael yazkiru. So they sound like nice Jewish boys. However, lo be'emet v'lo bitztaka. But they're not doing it in sincerely, and they're not doing it in righteousness. What exactly are they not doing that the Navi is, you know, is concerned about, given the context that we've seen up until this point in the Prakim prior to this? Does it mean that they just go around swearing falsely? So what's unique? You know, why specifically during this time the people, you know, like to swear falsely? It doesn't, you know, what does it mean? Lo be'emet v'lo bitztaka, not sincerely. So the simplest reading here that a number of the modern readers, and I think it's the most convincing, and I think there's parshanim that say this as well, lo be'emet v'lo bitztaka means that when they swear in the name of God, that they believe in the prophecies that God, the Navi, has been saying to them, that God will redeem the Jewish people from Babylon, that God will bring Koresh, and he will lead them back to Israel, and that the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt and Jewish sovereignty will be restored. All those things they don't really believe. So they swear in the name of God, they mention God, they assent to what the prophet says, but they don't truly believe it, either because they're very comfortable in Bavel, or because they don't truly believe that God is going to do this. They still believe that the gods of Babylon are stronger than the God of Israel, or any other host of reasons. That's what's talking about here. So he's turning to the Jews who are living in Bavel in this period of time, in the 550s, in the 540s, and he's saying to them, listen up, you Jews who have this pedigree, Beit Yaakov, Yisrael, Yehuda, so you have this pedigree, and you've come from the city. Ki me'ir HaKodesh Nikra'u. You've been called, you're called the people who came from a holy city. Ve'alalohe Yisrael Nismachu, Hashem Tzvakot Shemo. And you supposedly rely on God, but you don't really, really true. And it's interesting, it's the words, Hashem Tzvakot Shemo, God, you know, God, Hashem Tzvakot Shemo, God is the one, is described here. Hashem Tzvakot Shemo, of course, has a kind of martial, M-A-R-T-I-A-L, a kind of military kind of image, because there's an, you know, they rely on God, but God is Hashem Tzvakot Shemo. God is the God of battle. God is the God of war. God is the one who can redeem you, just like he did from Paro. Hashem Tzvakot Shemo. Hashem Tzvakot, who came and redeemed the Jewish people. So there's a kind of hint there to that. And so this perek here is a bit of a tochacha to the Jews who are not ready to really, really believe sincerely in their hearts what the prophet has been telling them in the last six or seven prakim, that, you know, the redemption is coming, get ready to go back to Israel, you're going to be saved, Bavel is going to be destroyed through the hand of Koresh. And so he, again, repeats these themes here. Again, this nevuah might have been given a few months after the last nevuah. And he says, harishonot, once again he comes back to the same themes that he came back to, but then he adds, you'll see that he adds, as we go through, harishonot me'az higadati umipi yatzu v'ashmi'em. I predicted the future. I gave you nevuot from the very beginning, from Brit Ben Abtarim, where God promised that the Jewish people would be enslaved, and then they would be there for many years, hundreds of years, and then they would come out with great wealth. Harishonot me'azigadeti umipi yatzau v'ashmiyem. And I made sure that you heard them. The second time that the word lishmoa is heard. Pit'om asiti v'atavona. And they were then, suddenly, it happened. Midati. Why did I do this? Why did I tell you the prophecies in advance? So in previous prakim, the theme was, I told you this in advance to show the utter uselessness of the idols of the Babylonians. So when we went right in chapter 43 and 44 and 45, it talked about the utter uselessness of the idols, that they can't predict anything. Ask the idols. He mocks the idols. Ask them for a prediction and see if it comes true. They have no predictions. They have no oracles. Nothing that they say ever comes true. But God, look at God predicted Brit Bein HaBetarim. He predicted Yetziat Mitzrayim. He predicted the destruction of the Assyria, of the Jews in the Northern Kingdom. He predicted the destruction of Assyria. He predicted the Babylonian conquest. He predicted the destruction of the temple. So God has done all these things. Harishonot, the old ones, the original ones, me'az, from the past, he got it to you, mipiatsu bashmim, pitomasiti, midati, but here it's a different angle. It's not because of a polemic of making fun of the idols and the gods of Babylon. This is because of the stubbornness of the Jewish people. Midati ki kasheata, because I know that you are stubborn, right? Am kshe oref, vigid barzel or pecha, umitzrecha nechusha. The reason I predicted and told you this was because I know how unbelieving you are, how recalcitrant, how stubborn you are. Midati ki kasheata, you're very difficult to convince. Vigid barzel or pecha, and your shoulder, your back is like a gid barzel. It's like, you know, it's like an iron. It's like an iron limb. Umitzchecha nechusha. Your forehead is very arrogant. Va'agid lecha me'az b'term tavo hishmaticha. Third time. I told you all this. Pen tomar, because if things just happened without being predicted, so some of the Jews would have said, pen tomar, otzbi asam, upisli v'niski tzivam. What would have happened? So, if God hadn't predicted it, so there's a group of people who are so ensconced in the culture in which they are living, whether it's in Eretz Yisrael or here in Bavel, they would have said that otzvi, atzaveyem kesev zahav, their idols, pisli, the psalim, niski comes the word like egel masecha. It's a masecha because you pour molten something into a mold and you create a masecha, you create a form, you create a tavnit. So niski, that which is poured. So people would have said, if I didn't predict what happened, they would have said, oh, the Jews were destroyed because of the gods of Bavel, because of the power of my idols, or this and this happened, but now I predicted it. Shamata, you heard it. And then what a wonderful little play. Chazei kula, look at it. You heard it, but now use your eyes. Va'atem halo tagidu. And now say, but now here's the shift. Now is just the shift. Up until this point, he talked about the past. Harishonot. Me'az, from in the past. He got it. I said, just like he mentioned in the previous chapters. And that was to make sure, again, not because of the polemic against the idols. Here it's because of what, it's because of whatchamacallit. It's because of what, it's because lest people identify, because of your arrogance and your belief that maybe you wouldn't have believed that God did it, because you would say, oh no, it was the little tefillah I gave to my idol yesterday. But now God turns it and says, in addition to Rishonot, the old ones, the original ones, God says now, Hishma'aticha chadashot me'ata unitzurot velo yida'atam. God says, I'm also now going to let you know new things. Meaning, God is not in a box that he has to do the same model over and over and over again. Until this point, God did it in a certain way. He did it with Moshe. He did it with Yoshua. He did it with whatever it was. He redeemed the Jewish people in a certain way. No. Hishmaticha chadashot. There's new things. Me'ata. Unitzurot. And things which are hidden. V'lo yidatam. You didn't know about them. Atan nivra'u v'lo me'az. Now there are new things created, not from the past. Harishonot me'az. But God is now going to do new things. V'lifnei yom v'lo shmatem. And it's not something that is predicted. Pen tomar hinei da'atin, because you will say, oh, I knew that this was what's going to happen. I'm going to, God is going to change the course of history in a way that you're not ready for it. Don't box God in and think that you know exactly. Yes, in the past I've done it like this and I told you about it so that you wouldn't get, but now I'm also going to do new things that you didn't expect. I'm going to bring Koresh, a foreign king, to redeem you, something that you never would have expected. Gam lo shamata, you never heard such a thing. Gam lo yadata. Gam me'az lo pitcha oznecha, your ears had never heard such a thing. Ki adati bagod tifgo uposhemi beten koralach. Because I know that you would have rebelled if I had told you about these things in advance. In what way would you have rebelled? Because then you wouldn't have necessarily been awed by what happened. Number one, that's a potential. Oh, and number two, you could have simply expected this to happen and kind of live on that without any prayer to God, any devotion to God, any transformation, right? That's the downside of knowing how history is going to play out. You can become very fatalistic and you can become, so to speak, you can become blind to what you're supposed to do and change. And so I know that that's what would have happened. And therefore God says, I'm going to redeem the Jewish people the way I'm going to redeem the Jewish people, irrespective of how you do it. I'm not going to tell you in advance. Leman Shemi, and that I talked about last week, Leman Shemi A'arich Api, God now tells us the rationale here is not because of the worthiness of the Jewish people, but because of God's name. We started with God's name. Hanishba'im b'shem Hashem Tzvakot, b'shem Hashem, the Jewish people who swear in the name of God, but they're not sincere. Ve'al Elohei Yisrael nismachu Hashem Tzvakot Shemo, God is Tzvakot Shemo. Now God says that name, which has not been understood, has not been sworn sincerely, and the God who is the God of war, the God of power, the God of Tzvakot, God says, Leman Shemi A'arich Api, because of my name, I will show mercy. I will not continue to let you be in exile. Utihilati Echtam Lach, and I will let my glory Echtam. It's a good question what that word means. The Parshanim are very, they go back and forth what it means. But the simple reading, Echtam, is something like, I'm going to hold myself back. Uti lati, and my glory, I'm going to hold back my anger and instead give you my glory. Leman shemi a'arich api, uti lati, Echtam lach. And therefore give you my glory and hold back whatever anger I have. Lebilti hachritecha, so that I don't destroy you. You will have some suffering, but you won't be destroyed. Hinei tzrafticha velo bekesef. I'm going to purge you, but not like kesef is purged, which is very, very silver, which is a very painful process. Becharticha bekur oni. I've chosen you to be purged through the crucible of some suffering, but not as bad as kesef. Lema'ani esekie eich ichal. I'm going to do it for the name of God. That should not be chilul Hashem. Ki eich yechal. How should it be desecrated? Uchvodi la'acher lo etein. And I don't want my honor going to anyone else, that somehow they think that God is powerless against the gods of Persia, against the gods of Babylonia. This is the end of the first part, which involves a tochacha to the people who don't affirm the nevuah sincerely, are not ready to be redeemed for whatever reason, either because they're comfortable in Babel, they don't believe enough that God has the power to redeem them, they think that the gods of Babylonia are stronger, they think that they are too far gone, they won't be redeemed because they're too far gone. All those kind of theologies are rejected here in this tochacha. And now God plays out exactly what it is that he's going to do. He's already mentioned it in chapter 45, that Koresh is going to come, and now he mentions it for the last time. This is going to be the last time that is an explicit mention of this unique redemption that's coming through the hand of somebody who they wouldn't expect, somebody who doesn't fit into the theology that says that the redemption has to come through a Moshe Rabbeinu type figure or a David HaMelech type figure. Comes God and says, Shema Eli, again, starting the second part starts also with Shema. Shema Eli Yaakov Yisrael Mikorai. Listen up, Jacob and Israel, who I've called. Anihu, Ani Rishon, Ani Acharon. I am first, I'm last. I'm the God who's done the stuff in the past. I'm God who's doing the stuff now. Af Yadi Asda Eretz V'mini Tipcha Shamayim. I'm the one who created the world, and therefore I can recreate the world and do whatever I want. Just like I called you, I also called the heavens and the earth, and I've also called the nations. Israel, the nations, maybe nature. Ushma'u, and listen ups. Okay, one, two. Mibahem higiret el Hashem. Who has ever said something like this? Hashem Ahevo, God loved him. It's a reference to Koresh. All the Mefarshim point out. Ya'aseh Heftzo B'Bavel. And he, either one of two interpretations, he will do God's will with Bavel, or he will do his will with Bavel. Uzro'o Kazdim. And he will do, his hand will be outstretched and give the blow to the Kazdim. So this is the last time explicitly that Bavel and the Kazdim are going to be mentioned here in the book of Isaiah. It's very, very clear. God is saying, who has heard of such a thing? That God is turning to his beloved. His beloved is not Abraham. His beloved is not Moshe. His beloved is not David. His beloved here is the king, Koresh, who he's mentioned in chapter 44 and 45. Ani dibarti. I was the one who said, af kiratif. I called him. The Jewish people are called. The nations of the world are called, and I called Koresh. Ani dibarti af kirativ, haviotiv v'itzliach darko. I called him, I brought him, and I will make sure that he's successful. Kirvu elai shim uzot. Listen up, the last time the word shema. So if you put together 7 and 3, 7 in the first section, 3 in the second section, what you basically have is 10, which of course is also a milah mancha, is also a key number, a mispar, a certainly a key mispar in all of the in all of Tanakh. Kirvu elai shimuzot lo meirosh baseter dibarti. I'm not saying this in hiddenness. I'm saying this openly. Me'etio tasham ani vata Adonai shlachani verucho. And God has sent me to tell you this, and to convey his spirit. We now get to the final section. And the final section introduces the word ge'ula, the redemption. Komar Shem Go'alcha Kadosh Yisrael. Again, the term Kadosh Yisrael. I mentioned it's used by Yeshayahu more than any other Navi. Komar Hashem Goalcha, the Redemptor. Ani Hashem Elohecha Melamdecha Lehoil. I'm teaching you how to be successful. Madrichacha B'derech Teilech. I'm going to direct you. Lu Hikshavta LeMitzvotai. If you had listened to my mitzvot, Vayikanar Shlomecha V'tzipkascha G'aleyam. So you would have had flowing rivers of peace. You would have never gone into exile. Nothing would have been bad. If you had followed the covenant, you would have never had this. This never would have happened to you. And you would have had the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Kachol zarecha. Your seed would have been like chol, like the sand. And the offspring of your loins would have been kime otav, which in this context again means sand. Lo yikaret v'lo yishamed shemo milafanai. You never, your name would never have been destroyed, would never have been wiped out. There would never have been a hashmada. Again, the word shemo, the name of Israel would never have been wiped out if you had followed and kept the covenant. But that's not what happened. But God, therefore, has to redeem the Jewish people. And so God says, Tzu mi bavel birchu mi kazdim. Run away. It's time to make aliyah. This is a great Zionist, religious Zionist perek. Tzu mi bavel birchu mi kazdim. It's time to leave Babylonia. It's time to run from the Kazdim, from the Chaldeans. Bekol rina hagidu. Come and declare, b'kol rina, with a great voice, hagidu, hashmiu zot, hotziu ad kitzei aretz, to the ends of the earth, imru ga'al Adonai avdo Yaakov, say that God has redeemed his eved. We come back to the theme of eved. We have not had eved for a while in these prakim. And all of a sudden, at the end of chapter 48, we have the Navi who comes back to the idea that God is redeeming his Eved, which of course is a wonderful thing. In Tanakh, it's a wonderful, right? Your Goel, redeeming, the original redemption is somebody who's been sold into slavery or sold into indentured servant to pay off a debt or to pay off his land. So you're supposed to be Goel the land, as it says, and Goel the person. Goel. You have a Goel, you have a Redeemer. So, Imru Ga'al Hashem Avdo Yaakov. And now in a nice little play, God had said that if you had listened to the covenant, and it's also, of course, the Tokacha that also helps us for the future. Because now, when you're going to be redeemed, if you want to stay redeemed, learn from the past. If you listen to the covenant, you will have Nahar Shlomecha V'tzidkatcha K'galei Yam. Then, your river, you'll have rivers of peace and success, tzidkatcha, Yeshua, kigalei hayam, like the waves of the sea. And now, when God brings the Jewish people back from Babel, and God brings everybody back, the Bible says, v'lo tsam'u b'charavot, they will not, as opposed to when they went out in exile. And we have the descriptions, both in Tanakh and in the Midrashim, about how the Jewish people were thirsting for water. They were starving and thirsting. V'lot sam'u b'charavot. Holicham mayim. He brought them water. They didn't thirst in the dry, parched land, in the charava. Holicham mayim. They brought them water, mitzur, from just like in Egypt, he brought them, when they left Egypt, Umoshe hika batsur, he hit the tsur, he hit the sela, and they got water. Hizil lamo. Lamo is a archaic form of the word lahem. We find it very often in poetic parts of Tanakh. V'lo tzamu b'charavot holicham mayim, mitzur hizil lamo. From the tsur, he brought them water. Vayivka tsur vayazuvu mayim. He hit the rock, vayazuvu mayim, and the water came out. Again, closing the circle. In the beginning, we also talked about water. They left, they emerged from the waters of Judah. And here they are emerging back from Bavel, from exile, and they're having water that's flowing to them. They have the water that's coming to them as sustaining water. And it closes with, Ein shalom amar Hashem larishaim. But there is no peace. There is no promise of Nahar Shlomecha. There is no promise of peace and tranquility and bitachon to the Rishaim. Again, who are the Rishaim here? In the context of the Perek, the Rishaim are the people who don't believe that God is going to bring this about. They don't really, really sincerely believe. And they don't understand, either they don't want to understand or they don't want to believe the prophet. There will be no peace and no success for those who are Rishaim. Now, I mentioned that it's a literary technique, a literary hint as well, because if you look carefully, you'll notice. So we started this section in Perek Mem, which is also, so to speak, a nice closure in Perek Mem, right? Dabru alei b'shalom kirula ki malat zva'a. And we started in the desert, and God will, you know, bring back, and the Jewish people are going to, right? There's a geula that's coming down the road, okay? And it ends with this pasuk, Ein shalom l'rishaim. There is no peace to the rishaim. If you look at the end of chapter, I think 57, which means from 40 to 48, it ends with the phrase, Ein shalom l'rishaim. If you look at the end of chapter 97, interestingly enough, it ends with the same phrase, Ein shalom amar Elohai l'rishaim. And then it continues chapter 59, 60, 61, 62, 63. So this is almost like a refrain. A coda at the end of each section. It sounds like that this is a way of dividing the last part, the at least from one perspective, dividing the from Perek Mem through Perek Samech Vav, we divide it into three parts. Mem to Mem Chet. Now we have Mem Tet to Nun Zayin. And finally, Nun Chet to Samech Vav. So again, and it makes a lot of sense. This is kind of the end of this section, which is focusing on the Jews in Bavel and that they should understand that God is the God of history and God is the one who predicted everything and that the idols of Babylon have no power and all those nevuot that we saw repeated over and over again and that God is going to redeem them through Koresh and that they should go out of Bavel. That's all, so to speak, done. And now we start Perek Mem Tet. So let's start Perek Mem Tet, this new section. And this new section are Nevuot of Geula, Nevuot of Nechama. Again, here we have language which connects us to the past, but again, and probably the final editor of the book of Yeshayahu decided to begin this section because it has language which plays off of the end of chapter 48, but it is its own section. As I said, this perek, Perek Mem Tet, also is usually divided into a number of units, Aleph through Yud Gimel, which is what we're going to look at tonight, and then Yud Dalid, which is the beginning of the Haftarah, as I mentioned, one of the seven haftarot. This phrase should be very familiar to you. Vatomer Tzion, Azavani Adonai, Vadonai Shechani, Hatishkach Isha Ula Merechem Ben Bitna, which is the beginning of the haftarah, I think, of Parshat Akev, if I'm not mistaken. You can check me on the internet already, or someone can check a Tanakh. I think it's Parshat Akev, or one of the Parshiot in Dvarim at that point. And that goes all the way to probably verse 21, and then, you know, the rest of the perek. So we are going to look tonight at just this first part of it, which is not part of the haftarah. So Shim'u Iyim Eli, again, the Shim'u connects it to chapter 48. Shim'u Iyim Eli. Now it's not about the Jews listening. It's about the Iyim, the farthest reaches, the islands. Shim'u Iyim Eli, Akshivu Le'umim Merachok, those who are far away. Hashem Mibeten Kra'ani. So now Israel is talking. Either symbolically they have internalized the message of God, and now they want to spread that message of God to the whole world, that God is the salvific God who redeemed the Jewish people. So Shimu Iyim Eli Vakshivu Lumim Rachok, Hashem Ibeten Kraani, God called me. Again, another connection to chapter 48. God called me from the Beten. From the very moment in the womb, I was already called to be a messenger of God. Very similar to Yirmiyahu, who speaks about from the very my womb, I was already, right? Mime'ei imi hizkir shemi. From the innards of my mother, hizkir shemi. God already mentioned my name. Another connection to the past, to Perek Memchet, the use of the word of the name, and of course the me'ayim of the innards. Me'mei. Vayasem pi. God has made my lips kicherev chada bitzel yado hichbiani. God has made my lips like a sharp knife, meaning the message that I have to bear is like a sword. It can change destiny. Am Yisrael is not going to come and bring to the world and destroy the world. This is not a Gog and Magog version of the end of history or the redemption. It's a very different take on the redemption. God protected me with the shadow of his hand. He hid me. He made me a chetz barur. Barur here means sharp. Clear. He made me like a chetz, like an arrow. So you have the two images. You have the image of the cherev, which you do close up when you fight in war, and the chetz, which you shoot, and it has a long range. So God has made my lips, my story, is like a cherev chada, v'yisimeni l'chetz barur, v'ashpato histirani, and he protected me in his quiver. Vayomer li, and he said to me, Avdi ata Yisrael, asher b'cha et pa'ar. You are my servant. Again, as I mentioned, the end of Memchet, en passant, mentioned, Imru ga'al Hashem avdo Yaakov. So now we pick up on the Eved theme. Now the Eved theme we've already seen in chapter 42 as well. That was called the first Eved song in the second half of the book of Yeshayahu. Hein avdi etmoch bo b'chiri ratzta nafshi. God says, I will support my Eved, my chosen one, my soul desires. Natati ruchi alav mishpat lagoyim yotzi. So he speaks of him as, God speaks of him as his Eved. Ani Hashem kraticha b'tzedek v'chazek b'yadecha. And I've supported you, etc., etc. So now, when we come back here, this is the second Eved song, according in, and here, let's see the song. Vayomer li avdi ata Yisrael shebecha et pa'ar. Va'ani amarti. At first I said, larik yagati. I thought for a long time that I struggled for naught. I'm in exile. I'm oppressed. I'm in Babel. Letohu vehevel kochi chileti. For nothingness. Letohu vehevel kochi chileti. I spent all my energy for nothing. Chileti. Milashon vayachulu hashemayim arts. I completed. I finished. I used up all. Achein mishpati et Hashem. But God has brought out my justice. ufulati et Elohai, and my work has been redeemed by God. Va'ata amar Hashem yotzri mi beten le'eved. Lo, God who created me to be his servant, l'shovev Yaakov elav, Yisrael lo ye'asef, the one who brings back Yaakov to him and brings Israel, gathers in Israel, lo with a lo lamed vav. If you have it lo ye'asef, so the Mefarshim say, if you want to take the k'tiv, the lo ye'asef means here it won't be cut off. Milashon ye'asef in the sense of cut off. If you take it with the lo ye'asef, will means and will gather him in. Ve'ekaved ben Hashem Elohai ha'uzi, he was my strength. Vayomer, and God says, Nakel miotcha li le'eved lakim et shiftei Yaakov unetzurei Yisrael la'ashiv. It's easy for me, God says. I can do it. It's a cinch that you become my servant to establish you and to bring back the Nitzurim, those who are under siege. Lashiv, to restore them. Lahakim, Lashiv, Unetaticha. And from there, Laor Goyim, Liot Lishuati Ad Ketzei Aretz. So God basically says, a Kal v'chomer, Nakel, it's easy for me to restore you. And the Chomer is, and I will then put you to be Or Goyim. What does Or Goyim mean? Liot Yeshuati Ad Ketzei Aretz. In Pshuto Shel Mikra, in the plain sense of the text, it has nothing to do with what Or Goyim eventually comes to mean, that somehow the Jewish people are supposed to be some sort of beacon to teach the world justice and mercy and social justice, which is all beautiful. But in its original context, the Or Goyim, the light of the nations, is that they see God's power. They see God's Yeshua. Liot Yeshuati Ad Ketzei Aretz, that the whole world uses the Jewish people as a case study, that ultimately God redeems and God is the one who decides how to run history, and not nobody else is God and God alone is God. That's what it means in its context. Ko Amar Hashem Goel Yisrael Kidosho. So says God, the Redeemer of Israel, His Holy One. He's saying to those who have been oppressed, Livzo Nefesh, to those who've been Bizo Nefesh, they've been abused, they've been downtrodden, Limita'ev Goy, who've been abominated by nations, they've been treated with abomination, Le'eved Moshlim, they've been servants. Milachim yiru. Ultimately, now kings will fear you. Vikamu sarim vishtachavu, and nobles will come. Leman Hashem asher neeman kadosh yisrael vayivchareka. God who chose you. They will see that God is manifest in the salvation of the Jewish people. That their gods are not gods, but God is God. Ko amar Hashem. Be'et ratzon aniticha. It was in a time of favor. I am answering you. Ubiyom Yeshua azarticha. In the day of redemption, va'atzarcha ve'tancha lebrit am. I have made you a people of covenant. La'kim eretz lanchil nechalot shomimot. So again, notice, I reestablished the Jewish people. La'kim et shivtei Yaakov. And I am le'hakim the land. So the people and the land. Lehakim Eretz. On this day of redemption, Lanchil Nechalot Shomimot. To once again restore, redeem, and settle, populate areas, Nechalot, inheritances, areas that were desolate. Lemor La'asurim Tseyu. To say to those who were bound up in jail, go out, lasher b'choshech higalu, to those who lived in darkness, the people in jail, you can now come out. Al drachim yiru u'b'chol shvayim maritam, you will now be able to graze on in drachim, on all kinds of roads, and on all the mountains, you'll have grazing land. Lo yiravu v'lo yitzma'u v'lo yakem sharav v'shemesh, you won't starve, you won't die of thirst, and you won't be hit by the sun. Ki mirachamam yinahagem va'almubei mabuei mayim yinahalem. God is will lead them. Nice little play. Just like they will have the ability to be shepherds and graze their land, maritam, and God will lead them like tzon. Ki mirachamam, the one who has mercy on them, will lead them. The word lahanhig is often used in Tanakh, noheg katzon yosef, vayinhag acharei hatzon, to lead the tzon. Va'almabuei mayim minahalein, and he will bring them to sources of water. Visamti kol harai laderech amesilotai yirumun. Hine ele merachok yavo. Everyone will come back. Because the point is lehakim, to reestablish the Jewish people and reestablish the land. So, hine ele merachok yavo. Hine ele mitzafon. From distant lands. From the north. Miyam. And from the west, Ume'elam Eretz Sinim, from the territory of Sinim, Ronu Shamayim, and it ends off with a call, not just to the Iyim, not just to the islands in the farthest distance, and not just to the Le'umim in the farthest distance, but to the very heavens. Ronu Shamayim, Vigili Eretz, Upitzchi Harim Rina. It sounds like what we say in Lechu Niranina, in Tehillim. Ki nicham Adonai Amo, for God has comforted his people, va'aniyav, and those who have been oppressed, those who have suffered, yirachem, he will show mercy. So it's a beautiful beginning to this nivuah. So Emir Tzashem, next week, we will continue studying again. It's such lush, rich language, playing off of itself, playing off of themes that it had before in this section, and also playing off of themes previously in Tanakh. We will Emir Tzashem. But again, we are kind of finished. Bavel and the Kazdim will no longer show up. Koresh will no longer show up. It's going to be much more. Now, we'll eventually get to a very challenging, when we get to some more of the Eved, specifically in chapter 53, the suffering servant, the famous chapter of suffering servant, which has a tremendous history in terms of Parshanut, but we'll get there in Mirza Hashem soon in our study of the book of Yeshayahu. I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbat, and I will see you next week.
Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
Good Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.